Blog Talk Radio.
Yep, and with that, the garage is open here at Frat House Sports. Frat House Sports Garage open for business here this morning, August 28th, the last August of the month. And going to bring the mechanics in here in a second. We're just kind of sitting around here this lazy Sunday morning. We're just going to chit-chat for about 90 minutes or so about, racing. I mean, can you feel it? The tension is there. We only have three races remaining until the chase. And there definitely is some tension. Now, interestingly, we're going to take a look at the leaderboard. And, you know, when you talk about bubble drivers at this time of year, we've kind of looked at it. There really aren't any. When... And maybe you get in if you've got the necessary points. There are four winless drivers right now with more than enough points to get in. Question is, do they get a win? Question is, does somebody just below them get a win? All of these things coming in here today as we're heading to Michigan International Speedway. But before we get there, we got to take a look at what, I hope somebody's got a good radar. I haven't taken a look at the weather forecast for Michigan, but it just seems like too many races recently have been disrupted by weather. And last week was no exception. Bristol got underway as scheduled, but then was delayed until the next day after running about 40 plus laps. So the vast majority of it was ultimately run on Sunday, albeit that didn't even start on time because we're still dealing with weather delays. Somehow or another, they got the whole darn thing in, but unfortunately, it kind of wrecked what could have been a really, really great race because Bristol had made some improvements to the track, and I got to say, from my perspective, they were exactly that, improvements. We're going to talk about those improvements. Sidekick and I talked about them last week here on the program on Friday night, and I was a little skeptical, but I got to say, I think it worked. But unfortunately, the rain kind of washed it away by Sunday. But we'll get into all of that a little bit here. Kevin Harvick, well, he got the win. Really thought it was going to be Kyle Busch, but Kevin Harvick got the win. And he became one of the many, now multiple winners. That was the second win of the season. We'll talk a little bit about Kevin Harvick as well. Because I got to tell you, I mean, he's a driver that in recent years past kind of feels like he should have more than two wins at this point of the season. But two will do it. That's all he needs. And, I guess the big story is if you thought you were going to see Dale Jr. here today at Michigan International Speedway, well, think again. Alex Bowman is driving the 88 today. And Jeff Gordon will come back again next week at Darlington, which means the earliest we may see Junior would be the very, very last race of the season at Richmond. Interesting. Now, question is, are we now all a little bit suspicious and very, very concerned about perhaps the long term of Dale Earnhardt Jr.? Some are actually suggesting that he should take the rest of the season off, if that's in fact the case. Just take the rest of it off, Dale. Wait up until 2017. Many other people actually seem to think that we're going to be imminently hearing a retirement speech. Yeah, well, these are all the things that are on the burner for today. Listen, we've got some fantasy standings that we're going to be throwing out there and some fantasy picks and things like that. And then, of course, there's our weekly Eat My Dust pick contest that we'll be going through, which suddenly, I don't know if it's much of a contest any longer. I think it's really only two. But anyhow, if anybody wants to jump in with us here, the way to get a hold of us, 347-826-9964. If you want to get in on some good NASCAR chat with just about three races remaining before the chase, this is the place to do it. 347-826-9964. Otherwise, you can leave us a message in our Blog Talk Radio chat room, or you can hit me up on Twitter at Frat House Mike. That's how you can get me on Twitter at Frat House Mike. Where are the mechanics? Let's get the mechanics in here. Sidekick, you there?
Yeah.
On mute.
I'm just.
Oh, man, alive. What the heck were you doing last night?
Just a little drink last night.
Oh, no.
Till about 3 or 4 in the morning. I'm not quite ready to race this morning. I'm going to do my best.
Needs that Sunoco race fuel.
Yeah, I have not had it yet. So we're going to try and get through.
Okay.
I'll wake up in a little bit.
Just in time for the out music. Real good. All right. Well, I know Brandon's a little better, I think.
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm good.
Might just be you and I holding the show together here today. I'm not sure.
No, we're good.
Okay. All right. That's good.
We got it. I'm just, the comebacks may not be as quick and cutting as they typically are. They may be a little bit more lobbed like a softball.
Well, listen, that's okay. I can always use a show because I'm not real good at it. So throw me a softball every once in a while. That's all right. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's kick it off by taking a look out at what we saw over at Bristol. I don't know. Has anybody had a chance to look at the radar for Michigan? You know, there was thunder and lightning and things like that of that nature in the area yesterday. They were clearing the track yesterday. So, I'm getting tired of the weather. I mean, seriously, seems like everywhere we go with NASCAR, there's going to be weather issues. There were weather issues again last week at Bristol. We got, it was about 48 laps, I think, in on one day. And then we came back the next day and ran the other, I guess it would have been like 450 laps or thereabouts the next day. But Sidekick, one of the things you and I talked about last Friday night was we talked about the quote-unquote improvements that were going to be made at Bristol, and I kind of described them where they were supposed to be putting down this kind of tar-type material along the lower part of the track in hopes that, we would see a little more activity down there because in recent years we'd seen everybody driving the top line. I'll tell you something, guys. It worked. What we saw from those first 40-some laps on the first day, wow, there were cars all over the place, weren't there?
Oh, yeah, they were going all over the place. I mean, yeah, basically they scuffed the baseball, and all the drivers were taking advantage of it.
Yeah, I guess the question I've got with regard to that, and I had it last week as I'm watching it, I kind of thought to myself, does that in any way, does anybody have a problem with the integrity of the track if we start manipulating it?
No, it's no different than if they put sealer on it. I think you're fine doing that. They do it in NHRA. As a matter of fact, I actually did finally hear on the thing, it's a substance very similar to what NHRA uses. to get grip at the starting line. Mm-hmm. So I don't think there's anything wrong with it. It makes for a better race. I mean, if you want to make that argument, then you got to say, well, you can't groom the track at all. You got to leave all the garbage on the track. You got to leave all the debris. Their tracks can't, groom their track. It's like you got to get the track ready to race. And
yeah.
if that layer of sticky stuff helps the bottom groove, I'm all for it. I think it made a better race.
Well, see, I don't know if I necessarily agree with using substances on a track.
Oh, how about this? This is interesting.
Well, I mean, yeah, we...
Juicing, baby, juicing.
Yeah, well, exactly. the thing is, we get to a certain point where we're trying to, improve the experience and things like that. But then it kind of becomes this slippery slope if you start manipulating things too much. When it comes to a track, because it seems like we've done every, we've modified the car, right? It doesn't look like it's not a sports car anymore. Basically it's a custom engineered race car that they slap a skin, decals on to make it look like a Ford Fusion, a Toyota Camry, and a Chevy SS. It's not stock car anymore.
Yeah, the whole concept of stock is silly.
Yeah. And we've discussed that. We're kind of past that. You know what I mean? We know what it is. Yeah, but we some of the older guys kind of yearn for the days when it was actually a stock car. But now it seems like we've done what we can with the cars. So now we're going to start manipulating the track, and we're going to start doing stuff to the track to make the racing better. And when you're talking about putting 6 or 7 foot wide strip of tacum basically on the lower end of the track, and you're going to not touch the rest of the track, trying to get people to run a little bit lower. I don't know, where you get to a point where it's too much.
Interesting.
You know what I mean?
I'm going to be honest with you. This was something, as I'm watching the race last week, and honestly, as I just pointed out, I was enjoying what I was seeing, particularly on the first day with those, like I said, those first 50 or so laps. I was enjoying it, but I'm looking at it and I'm thinking to myself, how is this different than, the rumors that we heard about with Major League Baseball with them juicing the ball, manipulating some of the equipment, that sort of thing. How is that any different? And a lot of us who are purists of that particular game come away from that and go, they shouldn't be doing that. And then I applied the same concept to this. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I frankly didn't think that by bringing it up, I kind of thought both of you would feel exactly the way Brandon does. And I, for one, feel the way Brandon does. I don't have a problem with it.
I don't think it's any other different than any other track that does prep. It's track prep. That's all.
And I'm not saying that we shouldn't do what we did at Bristol. And I thought the racing was good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just concerned about now we do this. What are we gonna? What's the next thing we're gonna start doing the tracks? What are we gonna? If we reach the limit of where we can right now with what a car can do, then just leave it.
Mm-hmm.
Allow us to reach that limit. And then in a couple of years, as technology gets better or you revamp the car, you do something, because part of it, on one end of the spectrum, you have when we're on the super speedways and they're like, okay, the cars have gotten too advanced. These cars go too fast. We've got to cut down the horsepower.
Yep.
We've got to do this. We got to do that because
right. We
can't have these cars going 200 miles an hour. Well, at the same point, when you're on a short track and stuff, you can only really get them going so fast anyway. So why are we trying to increase traction and do all this other stuff? Just let them race.
I think what they were trying to do here, as I pointed out, I think on Friday night, was Bristol had become a bit of follow the leader. I think what they were trying to do here was they were trying to get some of that too. And I think in some cases we even saw three wide, which we had not seen at Bristol in quite some time, guys. Obviously from the perspective of, you know, did they accomplish the objectives? They absolutely did. But I think it makes for an interesting case. I think it makes for an interesting conversation. You know, is it worth doing? Go ahead.
I can make the argument that not only was it a better race, but I think it was safer because you now have two options, three options as far as lines instead of just one that works. So you got a guy either A, knocking the guy in front of him out of the way, sending him to the wall, or B, taking a chance that he shouldn't necessarily chance, you know, down low, trying to get by the guy in front of him. You know, now you got a, you know, a track that has multiple grooves. You can have a cleaner, you know, better passing race. You know, I don't know. I think everything I heard from the competitors seemed to like it. Almost to the point where they were saying there should have been more. So maybe we'll see a little more next time.
That's what I'm saying. If you're gonna do that 7-foot swatch or whatever around the bottom of the trade, why not just put it on the whole damn racetrack and be done with it?
Well, that would defeat the purpose. I mean, you're trying to get multiple grooves of racing. If you put it up high, then nobody will, you know, then you'll have traction, super traction all the way up, and it'll put it back to being a follow the leader. So I think what they need to do is not necessarily make it higher, just make it thicker. I think all the rain, you know, probably had an effect as far as, you know, rinsing some of that away and stuff. And I think they want to just see, you know, maybe a thicker layer of it and not torrential rains all the time like they had this week.
They didn't do the full circumference on the bottom line either, though, Brandon, did they? I think they only kind of went around the turns, I believe.
Yeah, it was just in the turns, not on the straightaways. You can't run low, super low on the straightaways, and that's irrelevant. You need to grip in the turns. It's the having it in the straightaways would do no good. Matter of fact, that'd probably be counterproductive.
you might have a very valid point about it being a safer race, because when you take a look at it, I mean, one of the things we were talking about, Sidekick and I were talking about last Friday night, you know, Bristol. More cautions here at Bristol than any other track on the circuit. That's a fact. You know, that's not just a perception. That is a fact. You will get more cautions here than any other. We had 9. Now, that was over 2 days. That was some of it in inclement weather. And it seems to me 9 is fewer than what we normally, I would bet, I don't know what the average is for Bristol, but I would bet that was below the average. Bristol always feels like there's a lot that you can start getting into double digits. And 9 did not, I mean, that I didn't find the cautions to be, what's the word I want? I guess annoying, you know. I get annoyed when there's too many. Go ahead.
I'm guessing if you take out the cautions for the weather-related issues, your number is probably more like 6, 5, because we had quite a few stoppages for rain, and even the next day when they got going, they had a stoppage in the middle. You know, luckily they were able to not lose the track and keep it within realm, you know, the realm of, you know, finishing. But I think there was less. I mean, there were still some people frustrated. I mean, we saw some, you know, Kyle Busch threw the helmet in the car, didn't throw it at another car, but we've still seen some tempers flare. But I thought overall it was a good Bristol race, except for the weather. I mean, obviously that, you know, you can't control that. But I think the racing, the product on the track was good.
Just out of curiosity, can anybody think of another track off the top of your head where the procedure that they did at Bristol would also be effective at another track?
Maybe at Darlington. Dover
and
comes to mind as a higher groove track. Where
if you
want to try to entice, you know.
Do you think they'll do it?
See, I don't know.
Yeah, do you think we might see them experiment?
I don't know. Maybe. I think Bristol's a kind of a unique animal in
Agreed.
The sense that, you know, it's a short track that it really only has one groove when you don't have that there. So, you know, but Darlington's kind of the same way, except it's a, you know, it's a high groove track. So maybe they could get some people lower, but I don't know. I don't know if it would be as effective as the speeds are higher. I don't know at what point it starts to lose, you know, its effectiveness.
Well, that'll be interesting because we're going to see, we're going to get a chance of obviously to see Darlington next week. And,
yeah.
You know, I have not heard any indications that, of course, that they're going to try that at Darlington, but it will be curious to see as we watch that race, whether imagining if they don't do it, imagining that they did. And, you know, so it'll, in other words, it'll be interesting because we're going to get a chance to juxtapose the two races, you know, very close in time period here.
Well, question.
Yep.
Because I don't remember hearing who mandated it, but was this something the track did, or is this something that NASCAR specifically
I think it was something the track did.
You know, because
I don't think they could do it though without NASCAR's blessing.
Well, sure, but you know, basically, I guess the point I'm trying to make is, you know, Bristol probably contacted NASCAR and said, "Hey, we want to do this.
Yeah, that's
are you
my
okay
guess.
If we try to do this to help racing?" So, you know, so you may not necessarily see it at Darlington because the ownership at Darlington, you know, may think that the racing's fine. Whereas if
mm-hmm.
it's NASCAR mandated, you know, it went over really, really well this weekend. Come Tuesday, we could hear Darlington now is going to have this substance put on the track.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the you know knee jerk way that NASCAR works.
Well, absolutely.
You know,
I
you
think
know,
so.
It seems like
I think
Tuesday's
when we talked
the,
about it. I think when we talked about it last week, if I recall correctly, the articles that I had sent over to you, what have you, and that we were referencing during last week's show, I believe all indicated in there that it was basically a Bristol initiative. Anyhow, I thought it was a good one. Like I said, I think it would have been nice because come Sunday, the effect was. I guess it was still there a little bit, but a lot of the effect had been washed away. It would have been nice to have seen what the effect would have been on an entire 500-lap race. So, anyhow. Well, Brandon, you just brought up Kyle Busch getting a bit perturbed. And he, of course, was more perturbed at the fact that his day ended early. Leading 256, he led half the race, and for the longest time, I really thought, "Oh, this is Kyle's. This is Kyle's all the way." The car just. I don't recall. I remember the exchange where he said, "You know, something was broken." I don't recall exactly what the malfunction was, but car couldn't complete the race, and. I'll tell you, I really thought it was going to be Kyle Busch's. Kyle Busch led the most laps at 256, but then second in that was, in fact, Kevin Harvick, who won the race, led 128 laps of it, and got his second win of the season. I started out at the top of the program here where I was kind of doing the lead-in. In years past, I pointed out, and I was just curious whether you guys kind of felt the same way. In years past, it kind of feels like Harvick, by this time of the season, would have had more than two wins, doesn't it?
Yeah, but at the same token, they're going through a lot of change at Stuart Haas, and it seems like all of a sudden, you know, the last few weeks, Harvick's team's kind of getting on a roll, so they may be peaking at the right time this year. They want to finish with a championship for Chevy. I mean, they've been running a lot better the last few weeks. Actually, so has, you know, Kurt Busch and even Tony Stewart. He runs around in the top 10, 15 a lot more than he had been. Danica's
yeah,
still
recently.
Out to lunch, but that's just normal. So.
Yeah, recently, Tony's been looking a little better. But, you know, you take a look at Kurt Busch. So what you're saying, Brandon, is you think it's a team thing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
Harvick
I think
being
the whole
down.
Team's getting, yeah. Yeah, they're all getting Kurt, momentum. And
Kurt Busch
running
another
well.
One.
And,
yeah, Kurt Busch is another one who, in recent years past, last season, season before, it felt like was a multi-winner. Kurt Busch sitting there with only one win at this point right now. Interesting. So the whole – okay.
Well, you know, it's a little hard for some of these guys that we typically see with more multiple wins when Toyota's winning all the damn races.
That
just
coming
saying.
From yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. While Brad Keselowski sits there with four wins and more points than Kyle Busch. I got you. I hear you. Sure. you get your way today. Joey Logano's on the pole.
I know.
I was just looking. There's not a whole lot of Toyotas up front.
No, there aren't there today. I believe it or not, I had a little difficulty putting my fantasy team together, and I got to be honest, I'm not terribly confident in it today.
Oh, so you just couldn't go and put all the Gibbs drivers on?
Actually, no, I did, which is why I'm not terribly confident.
Well, that's better than what you pulled last week there, Sidekick, making twin teams.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah.
Well,
okay.
Hold on.
Thanks for reminding
me. And you know what?
Thanks for reminding me.
Damn it. That, I realized I did that.
Uh-huh.
After the
fact. Here we go.
I had a feeling.
No, because what I do is I sit down. I do, you know, obviously, I do the show roster, right? And then I sit down. I do my other roster. And I sit there, and I go back and forth, and I, you know, try to pick drivers. And I do my best to try to not do that. Like, I actually try to go back and say, you know, compare the two and say, okay, I got, you know, as much as I want to put that guy on, I can't because now my roster is the same. Last week was one of the weeks where I independently did them and I didn't match them up and I wound up putting the same people on the damn roster.
What are the odds? I mean, truly.
So.
I don't know, Brandon.
Oh, no, if you go back and look,
I don't know,
I think
Brandon.
This is the first time.
I kind of had
go
a feeling.
Back, I think this
probably
is the first time I've done it this season.
Yeah, I thought that
that's
was
why
probably
I was
an accident, but I just
that's
you
why
know.
I was shocked to see it. I couldn't believe it. I'm sitting there, I'm looking at it, I'm going, are you kidding me? And I'll tell you when I noticed it. I noticed it during the period of time when you were number one. For a long time, both teams were tied for number one. And I'm
yep,
sitting there
and that's
going,
what I know. That's what I noticed it too. I'm like, why do both teams have the same score?
Exactly.
That's ridiculous. And then I'm like, son of a.
Yeah, he's going gulp. And I'm sitting there going. Yeah,
that's what happens when you run multiple teams.
You're over there going, son of a. And I'm over here going, son of a. If he wins, I'm saying, I got to award a win to both teams.
Yeah. That seriously, that was really unintentional. I was not trying to manipulate, you know, or do any kind of, you know, oh, I've got an itch kind of, you know, manipulating the standings, really.
I think I actually said that last week, too, I believe. I think I said something like, what is he? What, has he got an itch today?
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for reminding me, Brandon. I had completely forgotten about that. Thank you. That's good. Okay, so we got that out of the way. We won't see that again. Well, anyhow, we were talking about multiple winners and what have you, and Kevin Harvick getting this win. Real quick, I got the last two laps here from the NBC. Here's the last two laps of the race. This is a real short clip because, well, listen, they were running laps last week at 14 seconds a lap. Last two laps from last week's race.
Two laps remaining.
the gap between Harvick and Stenhouse Jr. still about 1.8 seconds. Harvick just trying to get through this last lap. White flag in the air. One more time around.
Right with you.
Kevin Harvick down the backstretch for the final time. Through three and four. Harvick's going to win at the last great Coliseum. Harvick wins at Bristol.
Awesome job, guys. Awesome job.
Kevin Harvick wins at Bristol. Just Harvick's second win at Bristol.
All right, so that's how that sounded. So it was, overall, I think it was a good race. We pointed out, look, that, they made improvements to the track. The weather was a pain in the tail on the front end. What else was I going to say? That was a bit of a problem. They made improvements to the track. Cautions didn't seem like there were as many. And for the most part, it was a good competitive race. I enjoyed Bristol. I generally don't like Bristol, but I gotta say I enjoyed it. Last week, that is up until Kyle Busch's car crapped out on him. But hey, listen, Carl Edwards was nonetheless up there. I mean, he came in. No, wait a minute. I thought I did. Hold on, let me see the standings here. Carl Edwards came in sixth. So Denny Hamlin came in third. All right. Any other thoughts on Bristol? Real quick, the little tribute that Kevin Harvick pulled off there for Tony Stewart in Tony's final race at Bristol. Nice move, classy.
Yeah, I agree. It was nice seeing them do burnouts and all that stuff. It's good. They should get as much of that in as they can now going down the stretch. I have a feeling, though, once the chase starts, Tony's going to be less. I think he's going to be more focused on trying to win the championship than, all the fluff. You know what I mean? It's kind of my thought on it. I got to think he's got to, got to think that, winning the chase is more important than playing around.
Surprised there hasn't been a little bit more tributary stuff for most of the season. I'm a little bit surprised by that. Not dissimilar, to the way that we have seen, some major league ball players go out in their final year and that sort of thing, where it seems like every place they go to, there's some sort of tribute. I'm a little bit surprised there hasn't been more of it, that we've seen more of it. Do you think that comes directly from Tony?
Yeah, I think he slows some of that down personally. That's
probably saying people don't do it, I don't want it.
Yeah. I got to think he's trying to focus on, getting his team right, making a run in the chase. I mean, he's in there. So, I'm guessing he at least wants to make an effort out of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Got to be.
Yeah. Obviously. I mean, you wouldn't have worked this hard to get into the chase.
Exactly.
And not want to, extend it and go for as deep as you possibly can into it. Tony currently sits in 27th spot in points, but he's, of course, got that one win. Three races, as we pointed out, three races remaining. I do have, to go along with the audio you just heard of Harvick winning the race, I do have audio of NBC from as I pointed out, the classy, dual burnout that both Harvick and Tony Stewart conducted together at the end of this. This was the audio of that as it took place on NBC last Sunday.
Just Harvick's second win at Bristol. It's been quite some time since that last win. Back in 2005. And the first time that Stuart Haas Racing has won at Bristol. And paying respect to co-owner Tony Stewart making his final Bristol start, Kevin Harvick wants to have him join him in a victory lap.
You're on a victory lap with me. Ride with you.
The last guy is that came from 24th to win a race, but Kevin did it today, so really proud of those guys, that whole Busch team, and you know, our Haas Automation Chevy was fun today too. Just you know, unfortunately the part of the race where we were running really hard wasn't the part of the race that counted for us, so we just had a good time and enjoyed it.
I know this track is one of your favorites. What's it mean to say farewell?
Well, I'll see it in the spring. I'll be back here. I just won't wear a helmet when I come back here, so hey, you know, it was cool. This place is so much fun. I told myself the last 10 laps, you know, we weren't racing anybody. There wasn't anybody around us. I said, just enjoy these last 10 and just savor the moment and think about it. So that's what I did. I really thought about what I was doing those last 10 laps and just kind of soaked it all in.
I kind of liked his his philosophy on the, you know, the final couple of laps. That was kind of neat. Hearing his, you know, hey, we're really not racing anybody. I mean, he was realistic about it. Just enjoy the moment. So anyhow, I thought classy move. I'm just, it'll be curious as you know, as we go through the final three races of the season and now 10 races obviously into the chase, whether we'll see more outward sort of tributes. It'll be just curious. Anyhow. All right, so three races, as I, you know, talked about at the top of the program, three races remaining. There is, I mean, we've looked at the standings now a number of times over the past couple of weeks, guys. And I think all of us are in agreement that when it comes right down to it, there really aren't any quote-unquote bubble guys. There's nobody below the 16 line that really could be, you know, I guess be competitive to take one of the winless points guys out of there without a win. So it's an interesting scenario because there really isn't any real pressure coming from any of the drivers below 16 points wise, but certainly one of them could get a win. With three races remaining, there really is, interestingly enough, despite the fact it looks pretty pat, there really is a little bit of tension. I mean, I find today's race to be one that I really am looking forward to sitting down and watching. That I find next week's race to be one I'm really looking forward to sitting down and watching. Just because of the fact you sit there going, geez, I wonder if somebody's going to get a win today that hasn't gotten one already. That's exactly what's going on in my head. You know, could we see a Kyle Larson get a win and get into the chase suddenly? You know, so, you know, winless drivers right now who are in the chase, Austin Dillon, Chase Elliott, Jamie McMurray, Ryan Newman. All right, there it is. There's your line. Just below that, but as I point out, really not, I would say, a threat points-wise to any of the guys above it. Trevor Bayne, Trevor Bayne, Kyle Larson, Casey Kane, AJ Allmendinger. do either of you feel kind of the same way I do, that there is a little bit of tension?
Well, barring catastrophic endings for some of those, you know, those guys in the bottom, I think they're pretty much in. Short of, I wouldn't want to be the 16th, because if you do get a new winner, you know, that would bump him out that isn't in among those four guys. You know, say somebody below the 16 line pops the win, that could take, you know, somebody out, and it will. So, you know, that's the only tension I would be, I wouldn't want to be 16th. You know what I mean? Other than that, yeah, they just got to keep their nose clean. They ain't going to lose that many points to any of those guys below them, you know, in two races.
Yeah, and 16 would be Ryan Newman.
Right.
So if that were to happen, it would be
Newman.
Yeah, I was going to say it would be goodbye, Newman. Which
it might be goodbye, Newman, anyway, from what I'm hearing. At least from the 31 car.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah,
yeah, they're trying to make room for Ty Dillon to run Cup next year, I believe.
Oh, is Newman's contract up?
Yes, Newman is up. He is a free agent at the end of the year. And no extension has been written as of now, so.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and Newman may be a free agent. Mm-hmm. We may see the other Dillon joining his brother. We'll see. I mean, obviously it's early yet, so. But.
Dun, dun, dun. Because I'm too slow to hit the sound bite. There it goes. Yeah, I'm not quite, yeah. I'm trying to get through the show.
Sidekick's doing his own sound effects. Okay, gotcha. Nice job.
Well, I'm also doing some analysis in the background, so.
Oh, well, please share.
I will at the end of the show.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. I got you.
He's doing fantasy.
I for one would like to see somebody like Kyle Larson jump up there and get a win. I think that would be neat.
Oh, absolutely. I still want to see him get a win and get in.
And he runs well at the last three tracks, too. Kyle Larson runs well here at Michigan, and he runs really well at Darlington. So you're not out of the realm of it potentially happening.
Yeah. And he does seem to be running better.
That team just started building their own race cars, and they just started using them a few races ago. And ever since then, they have been immensely better on the track. You know, their own engineers had input into designing them, and it seems to be working for them. Him and McMurray are both running better all of a sudden. So,
yeah, because he kind of went into this lull, and we were, we talked about, I think, beginning of the season. You know, last year it was like, all right, when's this kid going to finally get his win? And he kind of went into this lull, and we're like, where's Kyle Larson been? You know? We were talking about this kid's going to win, and, you know, he kind of hasn't been around, and he's starting to come on again. So, you know, now we can start up the, you know, when's Kyle going to get his win finally?
You could do the same thing with regard to Chase Elliott. And yet, you know, everything I keep reading is, and I don't know exactly what the problem is, but everything I keep reading is, as a company, Hendrick Motorsports is not happy with anything that's going on this season. Now, you know, I don't know if there's something. I mean, Brandon, you have any insight on it? Or I don't know. Is it that there's actually really an issue with Hendrick Motorsports? Or is it that, as Sidekick has pointed out, the damn Toyotas are just so ridiculous this year that it's making everybody look bad?
No, I think it's a little bit of both. I think you could boil it down to you know, you always see ebbs and flows of the power of NASCAR. And Hendrick's been on top for, what, 10 years, essentially?
Easily,
well,
yeah.
It's about time that, you know, somebody else, namely JGR, you know, found something. They're doing something a little different that makes them have a slight edge, and that makes everybody else try to play catch-up. You know, Penske's been an okay, you know, player in the game because, you know, they've run well, won races and stuff, but, you know, they're only really a 2.5-car team if you count the Ryan Blaney's car. So, you know, they don't have the, you know, the 4-car juggernaut team yet. See, I think that's part of why Ford, you know, signed Stuart Haas. I think you're going to see Ford's going to try to make a play now to be the guy, the manufacturer, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't read anything specifically, you know, that Hendrick Motorsports is, you know, like blaming anybody or, I mean, but I did read Casey Kane say if he doesn't get it right by like 2018, that it's time for him to give up because he clearly hasn't, you know, been winning. I think Jimmy Johnson's been looking good as of late. I think they're kind of on a resurgence. I think they're trying to build a little momentum for the chase. I think their experimentation phase is probably over because they only got 3 races left. And last week, they were running strong. They were looking like they were out of the race, and next thing you know, they're back up to second. So, you know, I think that team's getting better. Chase Elliott's been solid all year. He's just not made the breakthrough yet. You know, and the 88 car, you know, it's run well with whoever's
yep.
been in it. So I don't think there's major problems at Hendrick. I just think they need to, you know, ratchet up the engineering and find the next greatest, latest and greatest thing, or, you know, just enough to get close to JGR. And I have a feeling that's kind of why you're seeing a lot of these teams go to their own thing. I mean, Stuart Haas was getting engines and cars from Hendrick. They're now going to build their own cars. McMurray and Larson at Chip Ganassi Racing are now building their own cars instead of getting Hendrick cars. I think that's the key. You know, you can't all run the same thing and expect anybody to stand out. You all got to do your own little thing along the way, or else you're not going to, you know, get that edge, you know, that Toyota has right now. And I think that's why you're seeing the move away from, okay, well, instead of us all running exactly the same thing, let's try this. And I think it's going to work out better for some of the teams. I think it's already worked out better for Larson and McMurray. I think they're running better. Obviously, they're still going to have to get their engines from somebody unless they want to start their own engine program. But I think that the engineering and design of the chassis is probably more important. As long as you got an engine that's close, I think you're fine. You know, they're all within a couple horsepower each other out there, I would imagine. So I think they're all doing the right thing. You know, I mean, Penske gets their most of their stuff from Ralph Fenway, but they do their own little things here and there. You got to think, because they're clearly a head and shoulders above, you know, Ralph Fenway's deal. So, you know, I think a lot of these teams are making solid moves. They're all doing what they need to do, and I'm actually looking forward to see how Stuart Haas does with Ford. I'm not necessarily a Ford fan, but you know, I do like, you know, Stuart Haas as an organization. So, you know, I'm kind of curious to see how that works out. I hope it works out for him.
Well, and I think that's the right word, curious. I like yourself, I'm curious about it.
Well, here's what you got to look at. You know, they got the horsepower. Penske Fords are no slouches. They've won, as you said, 4
Proven
races
that.
This year. You know, Logano's won this year. He's on the pole, looking good here. So, you know, they can. It's all going to come down to what Stuart Haas engineers come up and design in their own car. And that'll be the difference to see if they're actually going to be, you know, any better making this move. And I think they will. I really do. I think there's, you know, if you got a baseline, you know, and the cars, let's put it this way, the cars have a baseline because of the design of the car. NASCAR mandates, you know, 90% of the design of the chassis probably for safety. You know, the little stuff they're allowed to mess with, you know, that's, you know, same little stuff everybody's allowed to mess with. So, you know, I think they're going to do well. I really do. Do I think they become like JGR next year right out of the gate? Probably
no.
not.
No. Yeah.
Maybe the next year, though. they might come out and start winning everything. You never know. I mean, especially if they keep their lineup, you know, with Harvick and Kurt Busch, and I don't know
well,
that Clint
exactly
Boyer's
right.
ever been a. I don't know that Clint Boyer's ever been a major winner, major player, but you know, I especially Harvick and Kurt, you got two solid championship contenders, without
well,
a doubt.
That's going to be an interesting one to see as well. How the drivers adjust as well. That's going to be an interesting.
Oh, I think I don't think
watch.
That's going to be an issue. I think they're both very good drivers. I don't think that's going to change. really, I mean, the cars are essentially the same. There's
okay.
very little difference, I'm sure. If anything, since they're building their own, they'll probably get little custom tweaks that they like. Like if let's say, for example, I've heard Kevin Harvick likes to drive the car a little on the looser side. You know, I guarantee you his cars will be freer. You know what I mean? So, you know, I don't know. I think it'll
right.
work out
well
for him.
I'll tell you what, in the next race or two, I think I'm probably going to be sitting here. I'm not picking them to win today, but I'll be sitting here rooting for somebody like a Kyle Larson, I think, to sneak up there and get a win. I think that would be, make things interesting with just a couple of races remaining before the chase. Wanted to bring this one up real quick. I want to get everybody's thoughts on this for a second, just to, just to kind of, I don't know, poke the bear or make a problem where there isn't one. You know, with just three races remaining, I'm taking a look at everything. I'm looking at everything, all the different standings, everything. Rookie of the year, Sunoco Rookie of the Year. Chase Elliott leads the list right now, 248 points. Ryan Blaney, 200 points, is number two. Question for you guys. Now, first of all, I'm not sure. Does anybody know, is Rookie of the Year calculated based on just the season? So, in other words, it would not include the chase, which is kind of the way other leagues do it as well, where the playoffs are not included. I don't know. Does anybody know for a fact, or will the standings
continue? I'm pretty sure it runs till the end of the year.
Okay. All right. So
I think it would be included.
It could change. All right. But let me ask you this question here, just for to get everybody's kind of thought on this. If the season concluded today, Chase Elliott gets Rookie of the Year. Chase Elliott does not have a win. Chris Buescher does.
Chris Buescher is not a rookie.
Chris Buescher is listed as a rookie on the Rookie of the Year list.
Really?
He's listed
wow.
as number three at 180 points.
I thought he had far too many cup starts to be considered eligible for that.
He's
been around for years. I mean, he's been driving the trucks forever. And he's had truck races. He ran several for Roush Fenway over the years. I cannot believe that he's actually being considered a rookie.
The current standings, according to the most recent NASCAR race report from last week at Bristol, current standings, Chase Elliott, Ryan Blaney, Chris Buescher, Brian Scott, Jeff Earnhardt. There's your five.
Wow.
Now, that being stated, I still go back and I ask the question. Anybody got an issue with the fact Chris Buescher's got a win, but the others do not?
No, because the other ones are... Chase Elliott's going to make the chase without a win. You kidding me? He's that high in points. You know, I don't even think it's close. I mean, Buescher just had barely... You know, finally now got in the top 30, and he wouldn't have gotten there if it wouldn't be for the fact that he won a weather-shortened race, and now he's getting manufacturer help. So, you know, yeah, I totally think it's fine if Chase Elliott's the winner. He's had the same, you know, essentially the same equipment all year. Now that Chris Buescher got lucky and won a race, not saying it's
see, here it comes. Now
what?
Here comes the Buescher hate.
No, I'm not hating. I just don't think he deserves to be Rookie of the Year. If you're going to give a guy Rookie of the Year because he's bogged out.
And now we're going to diminish the win.
No, it's based on a season of finishes. It's based on a season of finishes. That's why he's in third. If that win meant so much, he wouldn't be in third.
Well, right, and that's basically I was going to make the same point. You know, this is the Rookie of the Year is not a Chase type award.
It's not Chase driven.
You know what I mean? It's not about wins. This award is really about, we go back to it, consistency.
Consistency,
how you ran over the season. Yes, it's great Chris Buescher got his win, but let's be honest, like Brandon said, he's really a bottom feeder.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, if it wouldn't have been for that win, he would not be running better the last few weeks with the better equipment.
You average it out over the season, and Chris Buescher just isn't as good as Chase Elliott.
Right. Or Ryan Blaney, for that matter.
Or Ryan Blaney. You know what I mean? So, no, the fact that Chris Buescher has a win and the other guys don't, and he's down towards the bottom with Jeff Earnhardt versus, Chase Elliott or Ryan Blaney, I don't think that, should worry anybody or, say, hey, what's going on here? Why is this guy with the win down at the bottom of the list? Well, come on, he's finishing in the, late 20s, 30s every race.
And don't
get
me wrong.
If you really want to stir this pot, Ryan Blaney goes out and wins in Michigan today, then you can have the argument. Because Ryan Blaney has run commensurate to Elliott. If Ryan goes out and wins and Elliott doesn't win, then we can have this conversation. Because I'm sure with that point lead, one win would not put Ryan Blaney in front. You would probably have him still in second with Chase Elliott in front, and then you could really have this conversation.
I believe he was
40-some points. I don't think you can make that many.
I still don't think – if you look at the rules, I just pulled up the rules, and I'm looking at how everything is scored. You know what I mean? And really – looking at the way the points, the way points are scored, even if Ryan Blaney gets a win, you can't make the argument he should be the Rookie of the Year. Unless you're distancing the rules and just looking at it as an overall system and saying, well, if you got this rookie, you got two rookies that won a race, but yet, the guy that wins Rookie of the Year didn't even have a win. Well, then maybe you can have an argument and you can say, do we go and do we readjust how we award points for, the rookie award?
Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong. By bringing it up, I'm not suggesting that that would be the case. I, for one, agree with the initial objective of the Rookie of the Year, that it should be awarded for consistency. And when you look at consistency of the five that are driving, there's been no one that's been more consistent than Chase Elliott. Chase Elliott deserves to be Rookie of the Year, regardless of the fact that Chris Buescher's got to win. I was just bringing it up because, it's a win-driven NASCAR league now. That's what we hear all the time. And I was just bringing it up just for, conversation.
Based on the points lead you said, I think Chase Elliott essentially has this locked up.
Yeah. Now, it is interesting to look at the scoring, though, because there is one area of where it doesn't boil down to racing. And actually, hold on 1 second. Sorry, I'm trying to read. Okay, they get bonus points awarded for finishing in the top 10. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, so here's the interesting thing I was going to say. So during the final weekend of the season, a Sunoco Rookie of the Year panel meets and rewards favorable conduct in the following categories.
Really?
Conduct with NASCAR officials in the garage and pit areas.
Really?
Conduct and awareness on the track. Personal appearance and relationship with the media. The panel rates each driver with scoring ranging from a maximum 10 to a minimum of 1. Total points will be averaged from each panel member's ballot. The points derived from the panel will be added to the entry, completion, and bonus points after final race of the season to determine the overall Sunoco Rookie of the Year. So basically, there's 10 points. you can potentially get a bonus 10 points for how nice you are to NASCAR.
Uh-huh. In other words, this is NASCAR's way of being able to rig it.
Because it's only 10 points.
Take a look at every one of those. Those are subjective. That's I don't like that at all.
Yeah, but you know what? Honestly, I can't see any rookie driver not getting a 10 on this. No, in all seriousness, as long as you're hanging out in the pits and you're not trying to piss off
an
official.
I'm being a good boy.
Right, you know. And you're not out there trying to be aggressive and seek retribution on the track. And you clean yourself up and you show up to all your media events. There's no reason you shouldn't get a 10. I think it's just I think that's thrown in there in case you get a rookie that kind of comes off like a Tony Stewart maybe.
So, somebody over at Hendrick is whispering in Chase's ear after a race, "Hey, Chase, don't beat the crap out of Joey Logano until next season."
Yeah. Basically, you know what I mean?
Oh, man, alive. I don't know. I'm not sure how I feel about all that, but I'll be honest. That's just my perspective.
But also, if you look at it, though, you're talking about, out of 36 races, there's a 10 to 1 point system. Okay? Depending on how you finish, if you finish worse than 10th, you don't get any points. And they say the highest finishing rookie, though, in each race does get 10 points. But, you got 36 races.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that 10 conduct points that they award you at the end probably isn't really, going to really swing, that big of a thing to take someone like a Jeffrey Earnhardt and put him in first place.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Now, granted, I don't know what the point breakdown. I'm trying to see where the. Okay, so Chase Elliott right now is sitting at 248. Ryan Blaney's sitting at 200. So even if you give Ryan Blaney 10 and you only give Chase Elliott 1, you're still not.
Exactly.
So
it's not influencing it that dramatically.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Like I said, I just thought I'd bring it up just for some fun conversation. It will be interesting to see. Yeah, that would be an interesting though scenario if Blaney were to get a win, and then that might make things rather interesting. I wonder whether the sports blogs would jump all over that one. We'll have to. That would be interesting. Anyhow.
Conspiracies.
Yeah, here we go. Right, exactly.
The theorists.
Uh-huh. We know them. We know them well. Talking conspiracy theories. All right. We got to touch on Dale Jr. Earliest we may see Dale Jr. would be Richmond now at this point, because the announcement came out that Alex Bowman is driving the 88 today at Michigan. Jeff Gordon will be returning next week at Darlington. You know, I'm going to tell you something, guys. I've been saying it all along. I haven't liked the situation right from the start. And when I say I haven't liked it, what I essentially mean is I don't think that it's a good omen. We now have some people that are suggesting that perhaps maybe Dale, if the earliest we're going to see him come back would be Richmond, what's the point of even coming back at all? Take the rest of the season off and just come back in 2017. There are many others. I sent one article over that many, many NASCAR fans are actually of the belief at this point that we will be getting some sort of a retirement announcement. Now, we've talked about this before. I know that Dale has come out himself and said he has retirement is not even an option. But I don't know. Thoughts on it, guys? I mean, I kind of might go along with the concept of Junior just take the rest of the season off.
No, here's how I feel. It depends how he's doing, you know, some very tense rehab. And if it comes back that he's, you know, 100% good to go, I don't see any reason why he should sit it out the rest of the year. If there's still lingering issues, then yeah, absolutely. Wait till next year. There's no point. I mean, maybe come back, run Michigan or run Richmond. And if you happen to win and make the chase, then you know, go forward from there. But, you know, odds are he's not going to do that. So I would venture a guess the best option might be to just take the rest of the year off. But yeah, I don't think he wants to retire. I think if that was the case, they wouldn't be showing, you know, he's Instagramming and Twittering, you know, all these exercises he's doing and getting into detail about, you know, he's crossing his eyes and, you know, trying to train them to work together. And I mean, he's going hardcore into the rehab thing. And I can't imagine he would be doing all that and posting all that just to follow it up with a retirement announcement. You know what I'm saying? If that was the plan and that was the, you know, the end result, there's no point in doing the rest. Why are you trying to show what you're doing to get better, to get back in the car, if you're just going to plan on retiring anyway? You know what I mean? It just doesn't, it doesn't hold water to me. You know, why are you posting videos of you, you know, doing all these workouts and and stuff to get yourself back in the car? You know, I don't think that's somebody who's planning on retiring would be doing.
My thinking
is it's not logical.
My thinking is if Richmond is a stretch, in other words, if he feels, or the team feels, or whomever, if he's copacetic to come back, that is, he's cleared. I'm cleared to come back. Okay. For Richmond. But Richmond's going to be a stretch to win. To me, you might as well take the rest of the season off and be completely clear. Just take it easy for the rest of it. You know, just be completely cleared out so that when February comes around, you're ready to get back in fully, as opposed to jumping in there, getting into the, you know, having to run through the chase, running the risk of, you know, wrecking the car and perhaps maybe jostling the head around again. You know, just leave it alone. There's no point to that. That's just my feeling. I don't know. Sidekick, what are your thoughts here? Okay.
He's on mute.
Yep.
I am on mute, and I'm sitting there saying, going on my spiel about how I have so many conflicted thoughts about this whole situation. I guess the first and foremost is I'm in the camp where I'm thinking he should just take the rest of the season off. You know, as you mentioned, you know, he's definitely out the next two races. He's coming back at Richmond. If he comes back at Richmond, then run the chase, you know, run the rest of the season. If he really misses, you know, or yeah, if he doesn't make the Richmond race, I really don't see why they should, you know, get him back in a car this season.
Yep.
you know, just at this point, take the rest of the season and, you know, do your exercises and, you know, and we'll make arrangements. You know what I mean? Unless you feel that passionate, that within the last 10 races, you know, that you're better and you want to get in a car. You know, like, you know, the doctor blesses you and, you know, and you feel that, you know, that kind of, what's the word I'm trying to.
Desire.
You feel, no, you feel that good to get back in the car. Like, you know, you're chomping at the bit, you know, I feel great. I've never felt better in my life. You know, I want to get in the car. I need to get in the car. You know what I mean? But, you know, if you're not feeling that within the last 10, you know, then I say sit out the rest of the season. The problem with that, though, is now in the off season, there's going to be a lot of us, you know, sports talk people, you know, bloggers, you know, just, you know, media types in general that are going to be talking about the possibility of, are we not going to see Junior come Daytona? You know, because now it's a whole off season, and while he might still be posting all his stuff on social media and everything, you know, showing what he's going through, you know, obviously it's, you know, we've got from, you know, mid-November until February, you know, what's that, 3 to 4 months where there's no NASCAR activity, and you start talking about, you know, is he going to come back? Is he not coming back? Are we going to see him? Or are we not going to see him? And I think that argument just gets stronger if Junior does not race again before the end of the season.
All right. So you're thinking that perhaps maybe if we do see him decide to run through some of the races in the chase, despite the fact he would not be eligible, he would, you know, obviously he can't, he could win one, but I mean, it doesn't advance his cause for the chase. That might be simply a way of quelling the rumors.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I don't know.
I don't think if he's healthy at any point. Like, just say, for example, he doesn't come back at Richmond, but say 2 races from then, the doctors say, okay, you're good to go. There's no reason he shouldn't get back in the car, because now you're going to have, you know, at least a few races to knock off the rust, you know, get the timing back, because you don't want to have to do going into the start of next year cold. I would think you'd rather have some seat time, you know, if you can get back into it before then, because the layoff would be way longer than a normal off season if you count from when he's been out now, you know what I mean? So I would think there's some value to getting back in the car. Just to keep the skills crisp. You know what I mean? Maybe get off to a better start next season. I don't know. I have a feeling we're gonna see him at Richmond. I thought for sure it was gonna be this race. But, you know, I think because of the high speed and the potential for the hard impact here at this track, they probably decided to, you know, err on the side of caution. And the same goes for Darlington. Darlington's a pretty high speed,
yeah,
you know.
But see, I would agree with that assessment if the doctors had given him the nod to race again, and he was saying, you know, look, I've gotten the nod, but I'm not quite feeling up to racing.
Yeah, but if he says he's not feeling it, the doctors are not going to. In other words, the doctors ain't going to clear him till he says he feels 100%. You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to give him, you know, a clean bill of health and say, okay, you're good to go, and then have him come out the next week and say, oh, well, I don't quite feel 100% to go at this track. They're not going to do that, because the doctors would look stupid. You know, it's
right.
Going to be an all or nothing deal. You know? Like,
well,
they're going to give him the
clearance. I agree with you, but at the same, you know, also, but, you know, Dale may say, hey, I think I'm good to race. And doctors be like, you know, doctors like, well, no, you haven't quite passed your stuff yet.
Yeah. Well, yes, that's
why
he's,
you know, you hear him saying a lot. Hey, I'm going along with what the doctors, I'm doing everything, crossing the eye, you know, or, you know, dotting the I's, crossing the T's, you know, doing it, you know.
In all the reports, though, that I have read, there is admission on the part of Junior himself indicating that, you know, I'm here to tell you, I'm having difficulty with this or I'm having difficulty with that. A report here from August 25th. Now, this was just 3 days ago from WSOC-TV. Earnhardt said he still struggles with his ability to keep his eyes on an object while moving. Now, that was August 25th. That was just the other day. And that was not his doctor saying it. That's Earnhardt himself saying, I'm having problems yet. So, you know, Dale's saying, I'm doing everything the doctors are saying. But he's also admitting in many of the reports that I've read that he does not feel capable of coming back effectively, maybe even safely. Anyhow, I just kind of feel, you know, just can it at this point. Just take the rest of the season off. There's no point, I think, in risking it. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. You still seem to think, though, he's going to make the attempt to come back for Richmond, huh, Brendan?
No, it depends. Like I said, it's all going to depend on how he's feeling. If he's still, you know, I hadn't seen that he just yesterday had said that, or 2 days ago said that he was still, having issues, you know. So if that's the case, then we may not. And they may make the call at that point to shut him down for the year. You know, because if he's still having issues with focus, and I remember his initial thing was when he was gazing out at the horizon, he was getting dizziness, and you know, you can't have that and be in a racing type feel. It's just, you got to be able to have, you know, your eyes got to move all the way constantly, all over the place, and you got to be able to instantly focus on what you're looking at, because you got to. You know, you got to look, you know, is somebody on the inside, somebody on the outside, you know, where's my line to start breaking? Where's my mark on the track to start my turn in? You know, all that stuff. You got to do all that without even thinking about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got to know and be able to, your eyes are all over the place. You know, I can just tell you from being on a racetrack myself, you're looking way ahead of where you are a lot of times. So, you know, you got to be, you know, on the ball, and you can't have, you know, you can't be looking from here to there to the next place and then get a spell of dizziness in there. That just won't, that would be very bad for him and anybody else near him. So.
Absolutely. Well, that's my point, you know, that it not only is he saying, you know, I don't feel good enough to come back. He's saying I might not be good enough to come back even safely. And as you just pointed out, when he's making comments about, the fact that he's struggling to keep his eyes on an object while moving, I'm thinking to myself, holy smokes, these guys are moving at, you know, well in excess of 100 miles an hour. You know, can you imagine Bristol 14 second laps? Holy smokes. And you're having trouble keeping your eyes on an object while moving? Not a good thing. Not a good thing.
Well, see, I got to be honest. I'm wondering a little bit. Well, I understand they're saying concussion. Like, I'm wondering if there isn't something neurological thing going on.
You would think that they would be, doing.
If you can't keep your eyes fixated on an object, obviously, yes, it's, that's a concussion like symptom. But it's also, and a concussion is also a neurological thing. But I'm just wondering if there's other, you know, nerve stuff going on potentially, not just a concussion.
You would think that testing in those areas would be ongoing, if not already completed. I hear what you're saying, psychic. If it were anything more, I think we would have known by now. Because, of course, they just continue to kind of string us along thinking, well, you know, we'll take it week by week. He might be back. So, you know, the fact that they're leaving it open even to the very last race of the chase gives everybody that kind of thought that, well, he might come back and, hey, son of a gun, he would win that one race, you know. So, anyhow, we'll see. We got about a little less than 10 minutes remaining here in the program, so let's start moving around here real quick. Michigan Air National Speedway today, guys. I like this track. I like the bigger tracks anyhow. Two mile track here. Second time round. Joey Logano won it back in, I guess, what was it? I'm trying to think what, I guess it was back in June. Joey Logano won it here back in June. Lo and behold, sitting on the pole, Joey Logano. Jimmy Johnson coming out of the number two spot. We were just talking about, you know, hey, is Hendrick making improvements? There's Jimmy Johnson sitting number two. Can't keep the Toyos too far out. There's Denny Hamlin at number three. Kevin Harvick, last week's winner, coming out at number four. Chase Elliott, number five. Bowman's got the 88 up to number six. Ryan Blaney, Jamie McMurray, Carl Edwards, Ryan Newman. There's your top 10. I remember seeing that Martin Truex apparently ran some of the fastest practice laps the other day. Truex coming out at number 14. Thoughts, guys, before we get into fantasy chat and picks and that sort of thing, any thoughts on Michigan? Like I said, I like this track, 2 o'clock race this afternoon, Eastern time. I've always liked Michigan. Any thoughts from anybody?
Weather looks good. We should get this one in today.
Oh, thank you very much.
That's the best update Fred has Mike could have heard.
You're not kidding. Thank you there, Hurricane Sidekick.
Well, I'll say this much. It's interesting that we don't have all the Toyotas up front. And typically over the years, for whatever reason, the Michigan has lent itself to being a Ford track, and we have a Ford on the pole. So I think that's – you could see some – maybe some sort of different players. We might see, you know, a good run out of, you know, Pesky Boys and maybe the, you know, the Ryan Blaney, the Wood Brother team. I think they could run well.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you'll see Stenhouse find his way up to the top 10. I think Biffle couldn't find the top 10 if they plastered it on the front of his car, but that's just my opinion. I think Biffle's days are done. So I don't know.
No Biffle love today.
No, he's. I don't know. He just seems out to lunch. At least then out sort of looks okay at times. So we might see some Fords. You know, you had pointed out the Jimmy Johnson being in second. Jimmy Johnson has won at this track and run well. So you know, if indeed, let's just say for example, he you know comes out, leads a lot of laps and wins a race, well, maybe Hendrick isn't as in bad a shape as we all think they are. You know what I'm saying? I don't know that I'm ready to predict him, but you never know. He might, you know. Sidekick's pointed this out repeatedly. Him and Chad like to play around after they're, you know, locked into the chase. You know, experiment and this, that, and the other thing. And you'll see them be way out in a race, and then all of a sudden they're back in it. And, you know, if he's not doing that and just kind of, you know, run the race from the beginning, you know, we might see a solid run today. We'll see.
Boom.
Jimmy Johnson has won here once.
Wow. It seems like more than that.
But that's a, you know, Jimmy's in that same sphere as Kyle Busch. Yeah. I'm not ready to, you know, spell the demise of Hendrick or Jimmy Johnson quite yet. But, you know, Jimmy Johnson, Kyle Busch are, you know, a few of those names that you throw around where every, you know, you could put money on them every week and it not be necessarily a bad bet. You know what I mean? You know, there's a pretty good chance, you know, they're going to win a race. You know, they'll win a race. So, and the fact that Jimmy's up front, you know, really shouldn't surprise anybody that he can come away with the win.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Not that I picked him, but.
Well, we're going to find out right about now, because we got about just about 4 minutes remaining. Let's do this. First of all, let's jump in and. Fantasy picks of the week. Fantasy picks of the week here from Sidekick, and hopefully it will be for one team and one team only. Daytona Cement Heads won again last week. Damn it. Dear Lord. That's five races won for our fantasy leader right now, Daytona Cement Heads. And Sidekick's race trim fantasy team currently sitting in sixth place. But probably, you know, all of us, I think, are in the chase at this point. But go ahead, Sidekick, where are we heading? What are we doing?
Well, I was going to say, did you say we had 4 minutes?
We now have 3 minutes. No.
And now, 4 minutes of the football.
Wrong show, Sidekick.
Wrong, yeah, really. Now we have 3 minutes.
All right, so Michigan, I'm going to run.
Have another drink, Sidekick.
I've never have another. Wait, hold on, I can get that. number 4, Kevin Harvick. Number 22, Joey Logano. Number 48, Jimmy Johnson. The 47 of A.J. Allmendinger. And the 44 of Brian Scott. I'm going with, you guessed it, the number 22.
Oh, there he goes.
And Ford for my winter manufacturer. And I'm going to go with the 22 for my Eat My Dust.
How about that? How about that? All right. Well, in interestingly, in our Eat My Dust, you might. Well, okay, this is going to get interesting. In our Eat My Dust, Sidekick, you dropped back last week. NASCAR John now currently leads all 698
yep.
points.
Thank
You've
you,
got
Kyle Busch.
You've got 685. Brandon's got 614. I've got 589, and Liz has got 577. And like I said, this is, in my opinion, it's really widened out now at this point. But you're going Joey Logano. NASCAR John is going Joey Logano. Brandon.
I am going Kevin Harvick. For a repeat, two in a row. Two in a row.
Interesting. Brandon goes Harvick. I'm going Denny Hamlin. And loyal listener Liz is going Kevin Harvick as well. All right. There you go. All righty. Since I've been given the 1 minute warning, let me do this. Let me remind everybody what our lineup is for this week. We will be back in on Thursday night for our flagship program, the Froud House Sports Show, 7 p.m. Eastern time right here. We'll be getting real ready at that point for some NFL football as we'll be looking at, the concluding preseason games that night. Week thereafter, we'll be starting the regular season. So you're going to want to be here with us on Thursday night, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Next Saturday, 2 p.m., I'll be back here with another relaxed Frat House Saturday, and then we'll be back here on Sunday next week, 11 a.m. Labor Day weekend we'll be talking Darlington at that point. We'll be here at 11 a.m. Eastern time. So 7 p.m. Thursday, 2 p.m. on Saturday, and then 11 a.m. on Sunday. All right, there you go. Hey, everybody, thanks very much for listening. Go enjoy your racing.